Let me pray. Lord, we just want to thank you. We just want to magnify you for your word. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray, help us to understand your word. And I pray this word, may it find a fertile ground. And may it not just find a fertile ground, may it grow to the fullness. And may we see results. I thank you and I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Privilege of finishing our series called Thinking Outside the Box. And oh, guys, I hope you guys got an opportunity to hear when Vivian started. And Spiwe did a brilliant job last Sunday. And he was challenging us about how we need to think outside the box. And I like the way they were saying, this is just actually we have taken a slogan that we always use, thinking outside the box. And every time when we say think outside the box, all we are just telling somebody is, don't be limited by the four walls that are around you. Amen? And when we talk about this is we are actually challenging the church to actually think outside the perimeters that we have been given. Because in the church right now, and Spiwe did something beautiful. I was laughing because when he said, how many times has the Bible talked about money? And he listed them there. We actually saw the Bible talked more about money than anything else. Is that not strange? But this is the strangest thing is, how many hours do we spend in our workplace? In our lifetime? It's the highest, okay? And the strangest thing is God actually says, this is Jesus. Have you ever wondered? You know, I love reading the word. I love this book. But Jesus made a statement that always perplexed me. He says, you can't serve two masters. He says, God, why did he not say the devil? Because when we read when he's at the cross, he said, it is. It means he had taken care of the devil. Devil is not a competitor. Devil is not at the same level with God. Actually, we have lifted the devil so much that we confuse, we think that the devil is equal to God. And you say the devil is fighting God. That's a lie. The devil is creator. He was created. You can't compete with the creator. Are we together? So the devil is not a competitor. But there is one thing that actually fights for your full devotion. And that's money. I read this statement. It says, money, when it catches you, it's like an ocean. It never gets satisfied. You will say, I want to get a salary of 50,000. You get a 50,000. Your lifestyle gets high. You go like, ish, Lord, I need 100,000. He gives you 100,000. Your lifestyle goes high. You go like, ish, no, I need 150. And then 150 comes. You go like, ish, God. It's like an ocean. It will never say it's enough. Are we together? But we came to find out that the Bible does not say money is bad. It says the love of money. Because without money, there are so many things we can't do. Amen? Money is not the issue. The love of money is the issue. So when we talk about thinking outside the box, we talked about Vivian did a beautiful job talking about how lordship, money. We're not even actually in this whole series. We're just going to refer to it, but we're not going to tell you how to use your money. We're just going to tell you how to think when you look at it. Amen? Money should be looked at as a tool. I love fixing my cars. I actually do minor service. Let me not give myself too much credit. Minor service. I can remove oil. I can remove the spark plugs. I can change tires. I'm actually trying to train my boys. The other day, I was under the car, and I tell my boy, please do not allow a human being to be under the car to be by himself. You need to watch. And then I went under the car. When I looked, my boy had gone. I called him. I said, my boy, do you want me to die? Because anything can happen. Are we together? But I have a toolbox. There is no day my toolbox tells me, no, today you can't use me. No, use the other one. You've been using me for so long. There is no day. I am the one who has the prerogative. I can choose whoever I want in my tool because the toolbox belongs to. Amen? Are we together? The toolbox belongs. Let me read this scripture and then you will understand why I said that. So if you understand that the toolbox belongs to me, everything inside of it is mine. So even for all of us, we are God's tools. And according to the tools in my box that do not talk to me, this toolbox here talks a lot to the owner. When he wants to open a certain place, you go like, no, that is too much, God. No, God. Even, no, you have, yeah, amen. You can't see the way I'm worn out. Amen? But when we look at the toolbox, they never speak to me. They actually don't have feelings. They do what I want it to do. Amen? Listen to this. Matthew 28. So this is a parable about talents. And so today I want to talk about being a good steward of what God has given you. It says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who came to his servants and entrusted to them his properties. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his ability. Amen? Guys, we see here a picture of the man who owns the things giving out talents. It says property, meaning he gave things to people according to they are. So it means among us here, all of us have been given something to take care of according to whose ability, not according to your decision or what you want. Amen? Are we together? And he says, then he went away. And he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. And he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, say a long time. How long has Jesus been away? Yes, so you can see the picture. Jesus is trying to explain to people. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled account with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, and said, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. And he who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you have delivered to me 2 talents here. I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. And he also who had received the 1 talent came forward very proud, saying, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scatter no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talents in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked, slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. So I want just to talk about a couple of points that I get here. Is one of the things, and this one I'm not going to dwell on it a lot because Vivian did a very good job. He says, when we look at this, we see a principle here. God owns everything. Amen? And this is the place where we're saying thinking outside the box. We actually think because you worked and you got a salary, that money belongs to you. Amen? You think because of the car you drive, it actually belongs to you. And remember when I told you about the toolbox? Everything in that toolbox belongs to, and there is no toolbox, there's no tool in my toolbox will ever speak to me. If it speaks to me, that's a spirit, and we need to deal with it. Listen to this. Psalms 24, 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell there, for he has founded it upon the sea and established it upon the river. This is God speaking, saying that actually everything in the world, including, belongs to him. You know the one scripture that always fascinates me? Listen to Psalms 50, 12, 1. It says, if I was hungry, this is God, I will not tell you, for the world and its fullness is mine. Amen? So one of the ways are actually for us to actually think outside the box, at the box. How do we think when it comes to finances? Money and everything that you own does not belong to you. You are just a? Who is a steward? A steward is anyone who takes care of somebody else's property. Are we together? I wrote this thing here and it was so fascinating. I want to read to you. It says, a steward is a manager who administers that which belongs to someone else. If you own a business and hire an administrator to oversee the finances of that business, you have hired a manager. The money the manager manages is not theirs. They cannot spend it as they please. It goes without saying that the money they manage belongs to the company. And if they misuse it, we call it embezzlement and something that is recognized as a crime offense. So my question is, when we talk about finances, how many of us have caused embezzlement? And Jesus is interceding for us there because there's a court case that is going like, I trusted this person. But when they get, they do whatever they want, but not speak to me. Amen? So when we look at here, we see actually God owns everything. What does that mean? Even for me, I don't own anything. Everything that I have, I know it belongs to him. And I'm just a caretaker. Amen? Even my own kids, I explain to them, I say, guys, you need to understand, your real father is God. I am just a caretaker here. And I'm teaching them now to relate to him and talk to him. Because I know when I meet him, I'll be giving an account of he gave me two boys. And did I raise them according to what he wanted, not according to what I want. And that's why I'm praying all the time. I'm saying, God, what are you calling these kids to be? Not what I desire, not what job is good and it will make them get more money. I know. Some of us grew up where you are told, if you are not a doctor, lawyer, you say you want to be a cook. Whoa, your mother is going to talk to you. What cooking what? You need to inject people. They will give you money. But what if God has called you to be a cook? And the worst thing, just say you have been called to ministry. Even when your father is an elder in that church, there will be a talk. Do you know what they are paid? But what if God has called you to do that? Amen? Are we together? Deuteronomy 8, it says, do not forget. And this is the one scripture that we quote a lot. It says, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your father, as it is this day. Amen? God is the one who actually gives us power to make wealth. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it that we don't have Christians who are billionaires, the richest people? Have you ever asked yourself that? I'm just asking. We all believe that God is a God that blesses. The Bible says the wealth of the unrighteous is laid down for the righteous. Why do you think we don't have billionaires who are Christians? Not even billionaires. Let me not use billionaires because we have them. I'm saying the richest. Why? Can I submit one thing for you? because we are selfish. We all think about our... Are we together? One of the ways that God will trust you with more is if you are a channel that he can use to be a blessing. The one blessing that is for all of us, you know, all of us, we are Brahmanic. We are from the Abraham covenant. And there's a statement he made in Genesis. He says, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing too. My question is, let me just show you, just think of it. I'm not saying you answer me. If you get an increase, what is the first thing you think of buying? Just think of it. And then it will answer you why we are not becoming the richest people. You'll buy the guitar. Can I just say, to be honest, let me be honest. My first thing will be, we need to go for holiday. Me, I've worked so hard. I deserve a holiday. Let me be honest. I'm not saying going for the holiday is wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But it shows you my objective. It is to self. When you get an extra money, the first thing you go like, I need to upgrade my car. If you get extra money, the first thing you go like, ish, I need to buy a good TV. I need, ish, my house just needs new furnitures. Am I saying the furnitures are bad? No. But I'm just showing you why God will not trust you with more in your hand. Because the first thing is always pointing to. How many of us, when you get the increase, the first thing you go like, God, thank you for the increase. How do you want me to use it? I'm your pastor. That's not the first thing that I'll tell him. I'll tell him, don't worry, 10% is going. Tithe is being sorted. And then the other thing, my people, let's go party. Are we together? And the thing is, you find when you look at even the Bible, everybody that God actually opened a door for them, it was always, how can I be a? Am I making sense? And that's the thing that you find when we think about the box, we need to think outside the box. Because the thing is, when you look at us, even when you get your salary, can I? There's a testimony I heard, and this blew my mind. And it wasn't the couple. It was actually a pastor who was sharing and was talking about giving. And he said, in his church, he has a couple that gives 90% of their income. And guess what? They are the richest in the church. That does not make sense. Can I tell you something? When it comes to finances, God is actually not interested with your money. Can I just set you free? God does not need your money. God can do anything when he wants. When it comes to finances, all God is asking, who is Lord over your life? Can you trust me? And these guys who actually reached to a place and said, we will give 90%, because this is what they said. They said, they were telling the pastor, testifying, they said, we used to give 10, and we were going like, sure. Look at how we are blessed. No, let's give 20. And it reached a place where it reached 90. And we are going like, we can't understand. Like, our heart is overwhelmed by the love of God and how much he's taking care of us. That imagine 10% actually takes care of them and even more. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And the thing is, guys, you need to understand, I am not after your money, but I need to teach you the principle. The reason why a lot of things are not happening is because when God looks at you, he says, can you trust me? If right now you're just going somewhere, God tells you, buy that person lunch. You go like, hey, God, it's just one plate. I'll give them two pula. They'll go and collect magunya somewhere. But God said, a plate. And you know one thing, if you had just released that plate, you would have gotten a buffet. Are you seeing? That's the thing that fascinates me about God. When God asks you, actually he's not interested in that. He's just looking, can I trust you? And can I open my reserve for you? So you find a lot of us, we are actually not the devil. Actually, can I release? Actually, we fight the devil for nothing. There's a lot of things. I had this joke somewhere. There's this pastor was going to his church, and he found the devil crying on the staircase. Crying. And he said, what's the problem? He says, there are 3,000 people there. Everybody is saying the devil, the devil, the devil. I can be only in one place at a time. Meaning, there are certain things we have spiritualized that actually it's not anything that the devil has done. It's actually us working against ourselves. Amen? Number two. We are responsible on how we handle money. This is the other thing. God owns everything. But he gives to you. And he says, I want you to decide what you will do with it. Amen? And how you handle it, it will tell God who is number one in your life. Vivian, when we were preparing the sermon, she said, there's a day somebody asked him a question. He says, show me your bank account, and I will tell you who is Lord over your life. Amen? So what I'm trying to show you is, how do I become a good steward? But if you understand that you are just a steward, you will see doors opening, because it's not about what I want. And can I be honest? Trust me, when you become a good steward, the car you love very much, you will actually find it. And he will give it to you. The house you want, you will actually have it. Not because of what I want. I remember I've told you this thing. I bought my boys a gift in Christmas. I went to game and I found a game and I bought it. God asked me, he says, why did you buy your kids that game? And it was confusing to me. I said, I love my boys. And he says, never forget that. I buy you things because I love you, not because of what you do. I provide for you because I am a father. Amen? And the scripture says, if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, what about your heavenly father? You guys right now, you are concerned about your needs. But actually, your father is more concerned about your needs than you. But the devil has switched it. Now you'll find we go even for prayer and fasting. You are not sleeping. I was talking to Neo and I said, I will never miss sleep. The only person who has the possibility of not sleeping, he says, he never sleeps, no? Then why am I helping him with his job? He told me to sleep, and he says he gives his beloved sleep. Man, I sleep nicely, and I cover myself. And when worries come, I say, Dad, this is yours. Me, I want to sleep. I actually have told him sometime, hey, Dad, we need to talk. You are the one who has the ability to stay there all night. Me, I have none. I want to sleep. Can you give your beloved sleep? And I sleep well. Why? Because he has written. If he had not written that, then I need to worry. Amen? Am I making sense? Listen to this. Luke 16, 10, 15. It says it's your responsibility. Listen to this. Jesus talking to his disciples says, one who is faithful with very little is also faithful in much. The one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will trust you with the true riches? This is scripture. This is scripture. So it means here right now, the Bible says my people perish because of lack of? Aha. So what are we getting now? Knowledge. And knowledge, it does not have any input in us if we don't put it into prayer. So I pray, and it's so good that I'm sharing now before Christmas. Because right now, a lot of people are struggling. There are some who are going like, why is our company not having 13th check? Can I be honest with you? Thinking of 13th check is good, but it's actually limiting. Why do you want to go for 13th check when there's an open check that only your father can give you? Amen? Am I making sense? So we need to remove ourselves from where we are looking at our account. Guys, man, that account sometimes give me palpitations. I'll be in the office and then, you know, Me and wife, we share one account. And then I hear, I check. And I have to speak in tongues. I go, Lord, speak to your daughter. We need to oza, hold it. But because I am conforming to the worldly pattern, and because I am putting myself to the low standard of the worldly standard instead of my Father's standard, I'm not saying we be wasteful. I'm not saying we should not treat ourselves. I'm not saying we should not take care of ourselves. Please don't misunderstand. Don't beat yourself right now going like, hey, you know, hey, that car that I'm driving now will never come with it to church. I will come with the Hong Kong one because if Muruti sees it, Actually, when you drive that good car, it speaks of who you serve. Amen. Amen? But it should not own you. You should be free where you go like, I am just a steward of what God has. Amen? Are we together? And this is the last one, to the last one, and I know this is the most scary. We shall all give an account. When we look at that story, you find all of them had to give an account of what I gave you. Amen? Oh, guys, it's scary. And this thing, I want to quantify it. Guys, this is not just money. Right now here, it's talking about money. But this goes in everything. Some of you are gifted, and you are like those guys with one. You went and dug a hole and put it under. Amen? Let me leave that. So when we look at this, we see everybody giving an account. And actually you find he's coming and everyone will give an account, not only for how you lived. Because the devil is so clever. He has come and he has made us think of the spiritual stuff. You should not fornicate. You should not steal. And we are good about that. But the problem comes when we look at Mahdi. Your heart breaks. But when you are a steward, you understand that it's not on you, but you talk to him and you say, God, how can I do this? Sometimes he will scare you. I told you there's a time when I got my first job, I bought this thing, I loved this thing. Oh, guys. And right now, talking about it, I can see how it was an idol. You know, when you come in the morning, guys will understand. You know, when you sit on it, you lie down, you feel like heaven has opened. Just go like, hush. And then one day when I'm resting upon it, meditating on the goodness of God, I was still saved. I had the Lord say, take this and go bless your mentor. Hey, I rebuked that spirit. I prayed and I said, Lord, I come against every spirit that is rising against you. And then I remember one day the Lord saying, how long are you going to cast me? I want you to take that thing and bless so and so. I fought him for 2 months. I will be honest. I fought. We prayed. And imagine I am coming around that thing. When I sit on that thing, the heavens open. But when the heavens open, they speak something else. And I remember I took that thing and I gave my mentor. Oh, guys. Oh, the guy did not honor it, did not respect it. I'm telling you, my blood was boiling. But I'll tell you one thing, because of that obedience, even if it took 2 months, I have gotten more than that thing. And all God was saying is, this thing has your heart. I am not the Lord over your life. Do you remember the story about Abraham? God tells him he gets a child. Imagine for waiting for 100 years to get a child. That was promised. And then God comes and speaks. How many of you guys do you think you will do that? I actually salute Abraham. First me, I will have just put it out there and say, God, you need to speak to the woman. That's the mother. What am I going to tell her when the child doesn't come back? You know that one, you've already brought a chaos. You tell God, speak to her before you come to me. Me, I'm okay. I go like, me, I'm okay. I will sacrifice the baby. Talk to her. Talk to her. But Abraham walks with his child. I want you to picture this. This is the only child. And the statement is, the child asks him, Dad, we have the firewood. We have the fire. Where is the sacrifice? What do you think he was thinking of when he told his child that? And God, for me, when he had said that, if I was God, I'll say, ah, my boy, you're faithful. For God, he waited. Tell me the conversation Abraham had with Isaac coming back home. Do not tell your mother. I tied you and put you on the altar. And I lifted up the knife to take you out. But the statement that is most powerful is what God told Abraham. He said, now I know you love me above all else. All God wants to know is, do you love me more than all else?